Donalena Kitchen talks about food. Donalena Kitchen talks recipes. Donalena Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalena Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Priscintas.
We gather here once a week around our kitchen table at the studios of KHOI Community Radio in beautiful downtown Ames, Iowa, in the center of it all. And we get by with a little help from our friends.
Oh, yes. The Donalena Kitchen Show is sponsored in part by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub means community. That's our theme, community. For more information, go to the Mucky Duck Pub or go to themuckyduckpub.com and get in touch with Marcus. Go hang out. Have a
beer, a cider, a scotch egg.
Oh, yeah. Oh, lots of good stuff.
Very good. Well, joining us at our kitchen table today, we have a special guest. Well, we have a special guest because this is a special week. This is fundraiser week, and we're kind of getting to know each other here. Joining us at the kitchen table today is Alan Gilderhouse, also known as Gildy. Welcome. Welcome to our table.
Good morning. Good morning, and thanks so much for having me. It's been actually something I've wanted to do for quite a long time.
Oh, you should have stepped up sooner.
I should have stepped up sooner.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Well, it's cold outside, and I thought maybe we should have a potpourri of cold weather thoughts to warm us up a bit.
Yes, we need to make a distinction about the cold.
Yeah, what?
This is not a polar vortex.
No.
This is an Arctic blast.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, yeah, we've got to know the difference between our polar vortexes and our Arctic blasts.
And what is?
Well, I don't know. This one seems to be not as cold as the polar. You know, the polar vortex was where we had to close the schools and stuff like that. This is just an unusually early chill and snow. I don't think.
Beautiful
snow. It's been
snow.
Years since we've had this much snow this early.
This early.
But the leaves are still on the trees, some of them.
And Arctic blacks, not
blast.
A polar, which is kind of not quite like the Polar Express, which is Christmas. And, never mind.
Something like that.
Okay.
Well, anyway, this is what the weathermen are saying. So we
got to
get our nomenclature. Oh, goodness. Well, let's move on to another topic.
Don't we sound like we belong on the radio?
Yeah, we really know
what's
happening here.
Mm. Well, thinking about cold, there's a lot of good things to warm our heart. And we are warming our heart because this is KHOI fundraiser time. And KHOI, the H-O-I, stands for Heart of Iowa. Huh? So we're trying to warm your heart to get you to join this fine organization because this is community radio. We get by with your support. So a lot of people are volunteers here, and a lot of people produce what they do here at the show at the radio station because they love it. Gildy produces, he does a lot of things here at the studio, but he does this great show. Tell us about your show, Rock of Ages.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. Rock of the Ages is a project that I started many years before I even got here. And it is basically a rock and roll show that focuses on deep tracks or hidden tracks or even not so deep tracks, but tracks that never get played on the radio. The easiest way for me to explain that is if you're a Doors fan, in the 70s, you heard Light My Fire, you heard Break On Through, you heard all of the rest of them, but you probably never heard Crawlin' Kingsnake or The Summer's Almost Gone or I Can't See Your Face. These are songs that only avid record collectors would play or would even be aware of.
Is it fair to call us rock and roll esoterica?
I don't know if I'd go so far as to call it esoteric, but yeah, I suppose in a way. So I feature stuff from bands that we all know and love, songs that we may have never heard or never hear often enough.
That's what's good about this radio station. Ursula Rudenberg, the station manager, told me a long time ago, she kind of got inspired to do radio or get interested in radio when she was quite young, when a neighbor of hers put his speakers up in the window and was blasting the neighborhood with what he considered really good tunes. And she asked him, why did you do that? And he said, I just thought everybody needed to hear it. And that's kind of what we do. There's lots of different things that we think you need to hear, and this is community radio.
Yeah, but the difference is you have your own on and off button, all right? You get to choose what you want
unlike
to listen
the guy
to.
Across the,
yeah, right.
Unlike the guy across the alley whose volume and musical choices you have no control over.
That's true. That's true. That's what makes this radio station ever so good. Donna, why don't you mention the fact that we could use a little bit of help. Is there a number that people can call or a website that people can call to kind of help us along?
Yes, you can pledge. The number is 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Plus, I'm sure you can go on the website and hit the donate button, right?
Yes, that's...
We got options.
We got options.
Are we texting this year for the...
I don't think so.
No, all right. That option must not have worked very well.
But you can
well.
Go to okay. khoifm.org, and there is a magic donate
button. Yeah, and the basic membership is $60 a year. That comes to $5 a month to support community radio. I think it's a wise investment in your community. We have a broad range of programming, all kinds of, besides rock and roll esoterica and crazy food ideas, we have just so many different demographics in the community. I think one of the things I love about KHOI is it really represents all kinds of ages and interests, and there's kind of something for everybody, and it all comes from somebody in your own community to somebody in your own community. It's a very Ames thing.
I think for me that is one of the greatest things about this is that we are locally owned, locally hosted, locally programmed.
All volunteer.
And ladies and gentlemen, let's just be perfectly honest. That requires help from you folks. It requires money from you folks for us to be able to continue to do.
Right. We're not getting any tax dollars here.
What we've been doing for 7+ years now.
Yeah.
And it's very simple. Simple membership, $60 a year. $5 a month, that's less than I spend on coffee in a day, $5 a month. A household membership is $100, and that's, you know, pocket change in the grand scheme of things. And it allows us to continue to provide you with the level of programming, the level of quality, the level of... local information.
Community engagement, yeah.
Yeah, community engagement.
It's all about us. You know, we're not the New York Times. We just talk about what's going on around our, in amongst ourselves, and it's always good to know.
So, 515-292-2878. Go to khoifm.org. Click on the big, what color is it this year? I think it's still blue. Donate now button. Follow the instructions. If Gildy can do it, anybody can do it.
Very good. Let's talk about food things. Gildy, we kind of put you on the spot.
You did.
Gildy. But there seems to be a warm stew in your repertoire. And can you kind of get us thinking about warm stew?
Favorite Gildy recipe. What is it?
Favorite Gildy recipe for this time of year is... Guinness beef stew.
Ooh.
Lots of garlic, lots of onions, lots of spices of your own design should you, you know, choose to depart from the recipe. 2 pounds of cubed stew meat. Only calls for a bottle, but I always put a bottle and a half. Of the Guinness.
Okay, there's your secret right there. Secret tips from Gildy, a bottle and a half of Guinness.
Guinness extra stout. So not just the Guinness that you get off the shelf, not the Guinness draft, but the Guinness extra stout.
Ooh,
it's really dark. It's really thick. It's a beer that eats like a meal. and 8 to 9 hours in the crock pot.
That's important.
And serve it over Bingo. Whatever you like.
Any potatoes in it?
You can make it with mashed potatoes. I don't make it with mashed potatoes.
I mean, you put it over mashed potatoes?
You put it over the mashed potatoes, yeah.
Okay.
And it is warm and savory, and I'm drooling just talking about it.
What kind of herbs do you put in it, Gildy? What's your choice?
There's a
salt and pepper?
Salt and pepper, pretty much.
So it's the Guinness that's doing the flavor.
It's the Guinness that brings the flavor out for me. That and the garlic.
Oh, of course.
And
of
the
course.
Roughly chopped onions. Uh-huh. And it's just so good.
I have to run right home and make a pot.
Also, there's chicken broth. Add as necessary to make sure that all of the meat is covered over.
Right. So it doesn't get too dry.
Right.
Oh.
What if you kept adding Guinness?
Then it would get sloppy.
Oh.
Either that or I would get sloppy.
Well, no. In nine hours, it's going to boil all
the alcohol cooks
out.
Off. That's
yeah,
right.
Right. Right.
That's why I buy 2 6-packs, one to cook with and one to
okay,
lubricate.
That's part of the recipe.
That's what
drink
I like.
With.
That's what I find beer really handy. Even not a fancy beer. Okay, if I'm cooking supper and I'm making a bunch of greens or garlic, onions, and kale or something, and if the recipe says add water and steam for a bit, well, I just look at that that bottle of beer in my hand and go, well, this will do, and slush a little of that in. And I don't,
it's a good liquid, isn't it?
I think it's just fine. And what a nice thing for a day like today. My goodness, yes. Burr. I don't know. It is. It's a bit early. It's a bit early for all this white stuff. And
it's all right. It's going to melt next week. So.
Oh, all yeah. right. All
Heck,
right.
It might melt this weekend.
Yeah, right.
All right.
We'll be back to normal. Oh. And think how warm it's going to feel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
What, is it March again already?
Well, that we can celebrate that about Iowa, and yet what would we have to talk about if we didn't have Iowa weather? I'm not much of not very much conversant in sports, so I will talk weather with you. So, yeah, it's cold. It's cold. Yes, it is. So,
but did you see the full moon last night?
Oh, wasn't it pretty?
Wasn't that amazing?
Gorgeous, right? Over the snow, you know, and you can hardly stick your head out the window, but boy.
Yeah, boy, that looks cold up there. Yes,
yep,
it does.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Big cold moon, yep.
It was very, very nice. And the fact that there's blue sky today means that we're soaking up all the sunshine we can, even though there's snow on the ground. Ah, very good. I want to mention a little bit about what I've been cooking lately. Our apple tree did just really, really good this year. And I have an Empire apple tree, not an exotic apple. It's just kind of your good all-purpose apple. And the last half bushel was sitting there, and it wasn't going to last till Christmas. So I borrowed Donna's peelers, the kind you clamp to the kitchen table, you smash the apple on there, and you line it all up, and you crank it, and if everything is right, if the moon and the stars are right and all your adjustments are correct, this little invention is just great. It slices, it peels, and it cores it all at the same time, huh?
Ah! Now, so that's how you were able to go through the bushel.
Yeah, right. Even though some of them had some
bad spots
and it didn't work. Turns into applesauce real quick right there on the kitchen table. But that invention, I like to put up those sliced, cored, peeled
And we have
apples.
To mention that this is completely mechanical. It's electric.
No, it's just
it's
me turning the thing.
Apple peeler.
And it does take a little bit of adjusting, and if your apple is a little bigger or smaller. But you end up with a kind of a big corkscrew. Of course, it falls apart. But a big corkscrew of peeled, cored, sliced apples. And I just slide those things into a quart freezer bag. I do put a little sugar on there and just shake it up a little bit to keep the
freezing process.
For the freezing
Good idea.
Process. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I find it just gets really mushy. Somehow, if you put a little bit of the sugar in there, because I'm going to use these. These are destined for apple pie this winter. I've been Woo-hoo. Enjoying apple pies. Yes, I do.
Who doesn't like apple pie? I mean, yeah.
Now, when I have fresh apples, I like to make an apple galette. Now, I use the term galette because Donna turns me on to all these fancy schmancy terms. Galette. Well, but what it is a pie that's not in a pie pan. It's kind of a
piece of dough
that's wrapped up around.
Yeah, you put your pile of apples on the piece of dough in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. And then you fold it. It's a rustic apple tart, basically.
That's a good thing to say. Yeah. From the Food Lover's Companion Food Dictionary, galette. Hailing from France, a galette is a round, rather flat cake made of flaky pastry dough, yeast dough, or sometimes unleavened dough. It applies to a variety of tarts, both savory and sweet, and there are as many variations as there are French regions. Ah, there you go. Anyway, that's what I've been making. And I started doing – I find that fresh apples work for that, or fresh fruit of any kind. I've tried the frozen apples in my wrapped-around rustic apple, and they're too mushy, and I end up – it ends up running all over the kibble, all over the place. I don't know why. Maybe because it's –
You mean you put them in frozen or?
No, don't put them in frozen. It's just by the time I get them unthawed, there's this kind of race between the galette dough, the dough around it, and the apples cooking. And
yeah, you probably want to use more like a Granny Smith.
Something
that really holds its shape a little bit more.
Anyway, that's a big fear. And this last bunch of stuff I put in the galette.
Or you could tuck the whole thing each into a little individual
pan
or a large muffin tin.
I could do that. I tossed a couple big, well, actually about half cup of your, quarter cup of your apple butter that you made me in with the apple slices, and that kind of coated everything in this intense apple taste. And boy, was that ever good last time. So I got this galette recipe a long time ago from the Italian Country Table, Home Cooking from Italian's Farmhouse Kitchen by Lynn Rosetta Casper. She's still on NPR talking away about food. Anyway.
Yeah, she's the original radio food lady.
Yeah, she does good. I like her stuff. And she had a recipe for a rosemary pear pizza, which actually uses a galette pastry and rosemary pear sliced up, as opposed to apples wrapped in this dough, and sprinkled with rosemary and ground cinnamon and black pepper, and drizzled rather well with olive oil.
Does she say why she calls it a pizza?
Because it's in a book called Italian Cooking, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why she would call it a pizza.
It's a rather old book.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think just because it wasn't in a pie pan. But I would prefer to call it a galette, but who am I to argue with Lynn Rosetta Casper? But that's where I got my original idea for putting, not using a pie pan, but now it is the apple pie season, and it's good. Although I have made it with pears, too. Pears are good.
Oh, yeah. Any kind of fruit that's, as you said, not going to be too leaky.
Leaky
makes a good rustic tart.
Good.
Well, you know, when that sugar and fruit juice, if it hits the bottom of your oven, it's just really messy, yeah.
Oh, that's one of the joys of the kitchen. Ah, again, thank you, Donna. She gave me as a present a, what do you call it?
Silpat.
Silpat. Talk about, silpats have saved my life.
This is a professional baking trip that now is available in home baking sizes. It is a silicone, very thin sheet that you put on the surface of your baking pans. Now, like in commercial kitchens, they come in full sheet size, and you just throw them on. Instead of using like parchment paper or something like that, you use them all. I think professional pastry people use these because things do not stick to the pan. It's very easy to clean. You get keep your delicate pastries in one shape. So you can now get them in what's called half sheet pan sizes, which is what is home bakers use.
Oh, okay. That's
what
size.
Fits in our oven. Those are all, technically speaking, half sheet pan sizes. And so, and they can be a little pricey, but I have two that I had gotten from my mother that are more than 25 years old, and they're still very workable. I recently bought two more just just because the other ones are looking a little weary. They've got a few holes in them. But I bake all kinds of things. Like if I'm doing sweet potatoes or squash or something that melts onto the pan.
And sticks really well.
Yeah. You just put the Silpat underneath it, and it's a breeze to clean up.
It is. It's
it is silicone. It is not plastic, right?
Yeah, I was going to mention, it can get very hot, and if you soak it in dishwater, all the stuff comes off
Comes right off, yeah. Pan is really easy to clean. And the good thing with pastries is you really can get your cookies or your pastries come off very easily without sticking, without getting damaged, especially like you when you do all those Christmas cookies with all the little refined shapes that you do, stuff like that. It just makes it really easy.
It does. My life has improved, and that's a good thing.
It's Silpat. Silpat.
Silpat. Yep. It's good. I guess I did put that under that Galette because there's always something that goos off the edge, Yeah, it's good.
And then if you're using your baking pan, not your flat cookie sheet, baking pan that has a edge on it, then it's not going to run off the edge.
That's right. There is a difference between – I do have cookie sheets, your flat, no edges except for the one
edge. You can still use a Silpat on that for the cookies, but for runny things.
Runny things.
Yeah.
See, we try to avoid disasters. They will happen. After all, it is a kitchen, and it's a dangerous place to be. There's hot, there's fire, there's knives, there's sticky things. Kitchens can be quite tricky.
It's an adventure.
Ha! We will take a little break here, and we will return to KHOI. We're doing things to warm your heart here, and we're going to warm your heart because this is Heart of Iowa Radio, and this is fun drive time, and we are trying to put the idea in your brain to support us, and we'll talk about that more later. This is KHOI. This is the Donalana Kitchen, Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Donalana Kitchen. That was a polka, a little French polka, from a duo, a couple of guys that play really nice, interesting, odd dance music from actually European and Canadian-based. And the group is called Belshazzar's Feast, and I do like to play them just because it always makes me hungry. Belshazzar's Feast.
Makes you hungry. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Belshazzar's Feast. Okay. We are here in the studio today with Gildy. He is a cohort of ours.
Co-radio producer.
He's a radio producer, and he does a show here on this. Very own radio station. We are gathered here today to talk about
married.
No, yeah. KHOI Radio.
Wait a minute. You guys are already married.
Not to each other.
No, definitely not.
Anyway, we want to talk to you about how KHOI is important to this community. And before I go into that, I want to read a quote here that I ran across. A thought about being human. Because this is a very human adventure here. We aren't a big conglomerate.
Yes, diverse humans here we are.
We are diverse humans. Oh, yeah. This is a quote from Robert A. Heinlein, a science fiction writer. He did a lot of wonderful things. He's probably best known for his science fiction story, Stranger in a Strange Land. But he wrote lots of stuff. And here a little note on what he said about being human. A human being should be able to change a diaper, plan an invasion, butcher a hog, design a building, write a sonnet, balance accounts, build a wall, set a bone, comfort the dying, take orders, give orders, cooperate, act alone, solve equations, analyze a new problem, pitch manure, program a computer, cook a tasty meal, fight efficiently, and die gallantly. Specialization is for insects.
Well, that list dates it a little bit, doesn't it?
It does.
Who do we know that knows how to shovel manure anymore?
You're looking at a farmer here, Don.
Yeah, I know, but
we can do that. Yeah, okay. We can do
all
that.
Right, think of all the kids. I grew up with manure, but lots of the youngins don't see any manure anymore.
Donna, it has to go someplace.
Yeah,
okay.
It's fertilizer, guys. It's fertilizer.
So, speaking of fertilizer and speaking about humans,
wait a minute.
Now here.
This is a lead into something I can tell.
I don't know where she's going with this.
Working up to something.
But we think that things can be thrown away and that fertilizer and manure is unimportant. But what it does, it fertilizes and grows the next generation of stuff. Fertilizing the soil is what keeps us alive. We should know that here in Iowa. Take care of the soil. Feed the soil. It feeds us. And now is the time for us to feed this radio station.
How was that? That's the Lana segue.
Boom.
All right. Okay. All right.
So tell us a little bit about why we should feed this radio station. Either one of you. Have at it.
Well, we should feed this radio station because we've been doing this for better than 7 years, and we have been feeding our community, and we have been bringing things to the community and bringing opportunities to volunteers and so on and so forth. Actually, I've been part of this radio station since before it was even when it was still just an idea, and we've been feeding it, and they've been feeding us, and it needs to continue. And
it is a major community accomplishment.
This fall fundraiser is called From the Heart, and we've always done everything that we can around here straight from the heart of – oh, inside radio thing I was doing. Sorry. But one of the things that we are doing with each of these pitches and being part of the pitch team is not only – reinforcing the importance of your involvement and your generous donations, $60 a month or $60 a year, $5 a month, $100 for a family membership, which is just shy of $22 or $20 a month. But we're also talking to the hosts of each of our program. That's part of my job as part of the pitch team. So I'm going to turn things around on you two just for a second and get a sentence or three from each of you on where the passion for cooking came from, where the idea for this show came from, what brought you two together if you weren't already associated with one another. Give us, you know, a little bit better than the elevator speech on the birth and life of the Donna Lana Kitchen Show.
It was an accident. Complete accident. Right, Lana?
We didn't really know each other too well. We met at a potluck and ended up in the corner just chatting away. And Donna is...
We do talk.
Donna is a retired professional chef, and I'm a farmer and an artist, and I do things. Never thought we'd be on the radio, so how did we get started?
It was near Christmas, and Cynthia put together a little show of Christmas food, you know. What are you making that's a seasonal delight? And she had both of us at the same time, and the three of us were just yammering away and having such a good time. Afterwards, everybody said, oh, you should do a radio show together. And they said, "When? What will you call it? Well, Noctical and Prisgintas?
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I don't think so. Donna Lana.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So there we have the same this alliteration in our name, so we could say this was destined at birth.
Well, yeah. The idea of talking on the radio was pretty odd for me, but the idea of being able to share things that we already know, and you know this, Gildy, the producers here come and talk about what they already know about or what they are passionate about. It's not like we have to make something up out of whole cloth, although we do make things up.
We make a lot of things up, but that is the point of it,
But we talk about what we love. And I want to mention, if you don't like what you hear on the radio, you can come on in and make your own show. Because
it is a platform for that.
It is a platform
and
for
it
that.
Is, I must say, as a producer of a show, it is a privilege that we have this platform to do it. I am very grateful to have a place to meaningfully share things that I really care about that I think are useful to other people. I hope they are. If they're not, listen to somebody else's show. There's all kinds of shows that have different... there is a lot of music, but there's also a lot of other community content and really something for everybody in the KHOI schedule.
Yes, there's classical music, there's jazz, there's something called All Things Piano. There's a great show that happens on Thursday afternoon called Ready, Aims, Fire, and that has music from all around Central Iowa, everything from
Iowa music.
Did you know that last weekend Paul Hertz, the host, played a ragtime composition by a Ames-born female composer who wrote this thing like in 1910. And no, it wasn't a recording of her, but it was her composition. And there was a jazz music, and then there's all this new stuff that's happening at local bars and all kinds of local stuff, and there's classical music.
And there's literary programs too.
Yes.
The bookshelves and local writers and sure. I mean, it's such a treasure chest, this radio station here.
There you go.
And the only way that we can keep that moving, the only way that we can keep rolling and move on to do a lot of the same things that we are doing, but much, much more, who knows what might come along in the future. Somebody might walk through that door as we're speaking and have the best radio idea that anyone has seen in the last 8 years for us.
Yes.
And the way that we do that is that we call upon you guys once or twice a year, sometimes three, and we talk about the need for your membership, the need for your friendship, the need for your donations. We've said it before, and we're going to continue to say it. Yearly membership is $60. That's $5 a month. You can do that without even thinking about it. A household family membership is $120, which is $20 a month. You can do that with your eyes closed as well. There's another level, the friendship level and the founders level that we can talk about. But I admit I do not have that info in front of me. That's
However,
my bad.
Think of it as writing a number down and put lots of zeros behind it. And we would appreciate things of all, donations of all sizes. And our fundraising goal is way up there. It's $25,000. And we're kind of almost up to $10,000 so far. So pretty good for you. Thank you, Central Iowa Community. Thank you, members. Oh, past members, sign up.
Well, and I also want to mention that we're a pretty thrifty organization here. You got to know that none of us are taking any of this money for our own pockets. It is strictly all volunteers. The funding is things like keeping the lights on, paying the rent on the Panatorium building, just your basic organizational needs, and every penny of it is well used.
You get a lot of bang for your buck here.
That's
at KHOI
right.
Community Radio.
All right. So once again, 515-292-2878. Talk to our friendly folks in front, and they'll take care of you.
Yes.
Also, go to the website, khoifm.org. Click on the donate button. Take care of that. And listen to some of the archive shows. If you're not familiar with us, spend some time on the archive and pick out what you might, what you think you might like, and just run with it. Discover what we're all about by spending as much time at that website as you possibly can.
Very, very good. This is KHOI. We've mentioned that before. This is KHOI Community Radio, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can go to khoifm.org and donate and find out more about the Donna Lana Kitchen Show and lots of other good stuff going on. We've got a recipe page. We've got archives, all kinds of stuff there. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. I want to bring you some heartwarming foods here while you're thinking about Heart of Iowa Radio. Donna, what do you have for us here?
Well, I have a – in my mind, winter is buckwheat season.
Ah.
I love buckwheat. Like we was talking about – we were talking Gildy's Guinness stew, you know, and do you serve it on mashed potatoes? Do you eat it with bread? I might just cook up a pile of buckwheat and stir it over the buckwheat. But a sort of more accessible daily thing that I do, and I do this quite frequently in the winter, and this is Lana's husband Joe's recipe. It's buckwheat crepes. Now, in Brittany, which is where buckwheat crepes are a very big staple of life, and a lot of buckwheat is grown in that very western tip of France, they are not called crepes. The white flour ones are called crepes. The buckwheat ones are called galettes.
See?
And that is an older usage of the word than this rustic pie designation.
Little round thing with stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So to make the traditional galettes, you actually need a very much larger griddle than most of us have. And they're delicate and they're thin and they're wonderful. But Joe has come up with a quick and easy way to do them just in your frying pan. So the recipe is, I'm going to tell you what Joe did and then I'll tell you how I do it. 2 cups of liquid, 1 1/4 cups of buckwheat flour, 3 eggs, 1/4 cup of oil, and salt. I use, for the liquid, I just use milk. I mean, you could use water if you want them a little bit lighter, but if I'm making a whole meal out of it, I just go 2 cups of milk. So you just take a bowl out and you whisk all of this in, 1¼ cups of buckwheat flour. Now, I like to use the early morning harvest buckwheat flour because that's an Iowa buckwheat flour. Plus, I like the way he mills it. It's just the right texture for this recipe. Then I use 3 eggs, and I use actually olive oil just because that's mostly what I think is healthy, and I use it a lot, and a little bit of salt. Now, the trick is you make this batter, and you let it sit in the refrigerator 2 hours, and then you can, you know, just spoon a ladle or two it into the the warmed-up. I have a very old cast iron skillet, which is really quite well seasoned. And I just rub a little more oil on the bottom of it. The easiest way is to take a paper towel or a little napkin and soak it and just lightly coat the pan. And there's enough oil in this recipe. So you ladle it in and then you just kind of rock the pan back and forth a little bit to make the batter spread around. And then let it bubble up and cook and flip it once. And then you've got, one in Brittany is they just put cheese on it, like a Gruyere kind of mix, and fold it up. Or you can cook an egg in the middle of it. And I love to do that. You just break the egg, and you let the white get all set up, and you keep the yolk kind of runny, and then you kind of fold the edges of the pancake over it. Yeah, because they're thinner and more pliable than a pancake.
Oh,
right?
Yes. So the galette is cooked first and flipped and then put an egg
right
in.
Oh, right.
Sounds wonderful.
Like that. The other thing that they're really good for is to make a wrap out of them. You know, like you would with a tortilla, but, you know, stuff some greens in and some whatever you want. So I really...
So you can make a few extra and set them aside and have them for lunch.
Well, or the thing is, if you have this batter just sitting in the refrigerator, you can work off that recipe because it's 2 cups of liquid already and 3 eggs and 1/4 cup of oil. It can just sit in the fridge for a few days and you just... Oh, I think I want a galette right now. And there you go. A one-person meal is really easy to make that way.
Buckwheat is really, really good. Buckwheat grows here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Buckwheat is not wheat. It's a whole different family. Actually, if you want to push come to shove and look at all the genome of it, it's actually related to rhubarb.
Yeah, it's in the fruit family, although it is not sweet at all. I love the earthiness of it.
Yep. It has what you're eating on buckwheat is the little seeds, which are little pyramid-shaped things, and little they look kind of nubbly. But
yeah, and when they're ground up into flour, they're very brown.
Yeah, they're very
so
good.
So a buckwheat galette or buckwheat crepe is much darker than the normal white flour crepe that you think of.
Very good. Buckwheat crepe. You mentioned getting buckwheat from early morning harvest, and I have a couple
of Panora.
I have a couple of upcoming events here, and early morning harvest is actually part of that. I have the Iowa Farmers Union calendar of events coming up on November 3rd. Early morning harvest is having an open house, and they're going to have a lecture on overcoming potential soil imbalance with tissue testing and foliar feeding. Oh, see, it just covers all that sort of stuff. But
wow.
Early morning harvest is a really interesting place to be. And that, like Donna said, is in Panora, Iowa. It's
that's
10 to 4:30.
Kind of west and south a tiny bit. It's a really pretty farm. The land is rolling around there, and it's...
Yeah.
Earl Hafner and his son, and actually the whole family runs the farm, and they'll probably give you a tour of the flour mill and the greenhouse where they grow their fish and their vegetables, and they, like I say about Earl, he's got a frog in every pocket. So if you're looking, what's the date on that?
That is November 3rd, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. in Panora, Iowa.
Lana.
November 23rd.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, 23rd, sorry. That's coming up. That
so
is coming
it was last
up.
Week then.
Yeah.
Next
no,
weekend.
23rd. If you want a little day trip, it's definitely worth going over for. I've been to a number one of their number of their open houses.
Very good. For more information, call 641-754-2624, or you can email info@earlymorningharvest.com.
Yeah, and you know, they have a little store there on the farm, so you can buy the eggs from the farm, the meat from the farm, all of the flowers from the farm. They have their own granola mix. They do dried herbs. So you could just zip over there for get yourself set up for some holiday cooking and
holiday
some holiday
stuff.
Shopping. It's a nice little Iowa trip.
Very, very good. And they actually have buckwheat honey, too.
The honey from the buckwheat. When Earl grows the buckwheat, he has a neighbor that brings in his hives, and that buckwheat honey.
Now, some people don't. I happen to like it.
So good. And Earl swears it's good for the arthritis.
There you go. Here is a couple more upcoming things. This is a note from Lynn Carey. She's on the board of KHOI, and there are some opportunities to benefit KHOI and also your local community here. We have the holiday season coming up, so we can do something good for your favorite radio station at the same time. On Thursday, November 14th, that is this week, there is a benefit shopping night at Worldly Goods from 4 to 7. A portion of the sales will go to KHOI, and you can get some of that early shopping, stocking stuffer stuff out of the way at Worldly Goods downtown in Ames. Tuesday, December 3rd, is Giving Tuesday. We're joining campaign to encourage people to counter Black Friday by donating to charitable causes. So on that, as kind of a reaction to the Black Friday madness, think of December 3rd.
Oh, is that part of the Buy Nothing Day?
Well, it might be, but it could be giving to KHOI on that day. And if you shop Amazon, you can sign up for Amazon Smile and choose KHOI, and this applies year-round. So if you have shopping compulsions, let at least some of your shopping go to KHOI.
That's true. They have this program on Amazon so that every time you buy something, a portion is donated to the charity that you choose, and we can be that charity here. So just go on your Amazon account, and what's it called?
Amazon Share.
Amazon Share?
Smiles.
Amazon Smiles. And set it up to come to KHOI.
What a great idea.
What an easy idea, because once you set it up, it's good, like, forever.
And with the amount of stuff and my bride's passion for Amazon, she'll be contributing to KHOI,
and she might not even know it.
Yeah, you know?
You don't have to think about it. Once you set it up, it's there.
Oh, yes. We're sliding into this kind of the part of the year where, we got Christmas coming up and family gatherings. And what do you get for those people in your family or on your guest list that have absolutely everything? Let them be part of something as fantastic as community radio. And also, I want to thank you, past members, for being members. And
you got us this far.
And be sure to sign up again or renew that membership. We are counting on you. Yes, we are. Thinking of the holidays, is there something you're going to be making as a gift for holidays? What's something that you can think ahead to make?
Oh, well, I'm. It's expected of me. Fudge.
Yeah. Well, see, that's one thing about working in a place, volunteering.
Donna,
place
my address is.
Yeah.
Oh, I hand deliver guilty.
See, fudge is such. It warms the heart. It warms the heart. And that's the kind of thing that we really
and we will we will have a show of holiday things to make for gifts. We always do.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up.
We like that. Yeah, and we Donna Lana Kitchen also has a whole pile of stuff in the archives that occasionally we dip into. I'm remembering, Gildy, you were part of a Christmas holiday, Taste of the Holidays show, and I don't remember what you talked about, but I interviewed people here, and that was a good holiday show. Probably dip into that one again. What did you talk about?
I actually remember specifically what I talked about. Wow, I can't believe you brought this up. A friend of mine that I've known since we were in middle school, her go-to Christmas thing is, or at least used to be, I don't know, where, anyway, coconut macadamia brittle.
It was
divine. She would not give me the recipe. She absolutely refused to give me any instructions. She said, honey, if you're going to get this, you're going to get it from me because I'm the only one that can make it right.
All right.
That's what she said.
On our show when we do holiday gifts, I will talk about nut brittles.
Coconut, and I've never had that comment. Coconut in a nut brittle. Nut brittles are so good.
They are, and they're really easy to make. And the good thing, like fudge, nut brittles, you can customize them. Like this must have been her signature combination.
This was her signature thing, yeah.
Absolutely. But... well, we can undermine her, and I'll tell you how to do it.
And I never had to share any of it with my wife or kids because they all hate coconut, so it was all mine.
Coconut is a dividing line, and that's surprising. I used to not care for coconut much, but I have run across way too much good stuff that's got coconut in it.
Absolutely, especially holiday stuff. It looks like snow, all of that.
Yeah.
The other dividing line, of course, is black walnuts.
Ah, another one of those tastes.
Yep,
huh?
It's an adult flavor.
Mushrooms.
Well, yeah, some people don't like mushrooms.
My wife devours them in almost any form you can find. I don't get anywhere near them. And they're those little black button mushrooms in Chinese food.
Okay. Don't put mushrooms in his Guinness.
We'll
try to real hard to keep it out of the macadamia coconut.
That's right.
Riddles.
Whoa, that would be
numb. Crunchy bits.
Okay, chemically it wouldn't work. It's the wrong texture.
Oh, thank you, Donna. Yeah, it wouldn't work at all. Oh, thinking of coconut, on the Donalana Kitchen recipe page, we stick stuff there. Matter of fact, I don't even know where things are in my recipe box anymore. I go to the website, KHOYFM.
Me too.
There is a recipe there, my mom's dream bars, Dorothy's dream bars, and those are a little thing, it's kind of like a little pecan pie, but they're bars. I mean, you can either make them with pecans or you can make them with coconut as the crunchy on top, and that's a pretty good little bar. That's Dorothy's dream bars. You can look for it on our website.
We can do that one for Thanksgiving even.
Let's give our contact information again and include the fact that we need your help. So, Gildy, give us those phone numbers again.
515-292-2878. And one of the things I've been leaving out, and I can't believe I just thought of it now, is that you can come and deliver your membership directly. 410 Douglas Avenue, Ames, Iowa.
Yes, we're a friendly bunch here. You can stop in at your community radio station.
There's always something going on here.
This is the Donalana Kitchen. We come to you every Tuesday at noon, and we're repeated at 7 p.m. That same show is. We gather here at noon. Donna, we do this live. You couldn't tell if this is a live radio program, but yes, it is. We do it live without a net. We just kind of dive right in. So, the music that we are playing today is from a group called Belshazzar's Feast, Paul Sartin on oboe and fiddle, and Paul Hutchinson on accordion. We'll go out with something called the May Reels. Support this fine radio station. If we are in your ears right now, put us in your heart and send us some good support in the form of hard cash money. We also would appreciate, if you are of that inclination, come down and be a volunteer. There's always something to do. You can be on the air or you don't have to be. There's always other stuff to do, and we appreciate that, too. My name is Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Thank you to Mr. Alan Gilderhouse, a.k.a. Gildy, for joining us today. We have excellent engineering by Cynthia McClure. Eat good food and enjoy life.